Welcome to Hoboken Grace. If today's your first time with us, I just want to echo what John said earlier. Hopefully you've made yourself right at home. And I'm super excited to be back. Whenever I'm away, it's kind of interesting because I just can't wait to get back and just be together as a family. I love our time together as a family. And for those of you who are again with us for the first time, who haven't been with us, or even if you haven't been with us for the past couple weeks, right now we're in the middle of this conversation called Paths, and there are a few things that you need to understand in order for you to be able to kind of journey with us today. You see, Hoboken Grace, everything that we do exists to help people find their way back to God. And I want to echo what John said again, that it doesn't matter where you are in your journey. We believe it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you're headed, that God is pursuing you. It's what we want to do is we want to be able to come alongside of him, come alongside of you, and help you take that next step towards him, no matter what it is. Whether you're just beginning this journey today, just checking out this journey today, or whether you've been on this journey for 20, 30 years, we want to be able to help you take that next step towards him. And so for us, paths are crucial. Because what does that look like? If we're going to be helping people take the next step towards Christ, what does that look like? And how do we do that? What does that road look like? And so on Easter, we began this conversation and we looked at how when Jesus Christ walks out of that grave, when God brings him back to life, it introduces this entirely new path, this beautiful path that we call grace, that even though we were broken, even though we had spit in the face of our Creator, even though we had hurt those around us, that rather than us paying for what we deserve to pay for, that God sent his son, that Jesus Christ became me, that he became everything that was evil and ugly about me, everything that was evil and ugly about you, that he took our place so that you could be born again, so that you could be made new, so that you could find peace with God, a new way back to God, the very source of our life, the very source of our satisfaction, the very source of love and joy and peace, and patience, and kindness. A new path, a path that's unlike any other religious system or path you've ever seen or could imagine. This path of grace. And so on Easter morning, we looked at what makes this entire thing possible. And then last week, we began to look at the journey, this actual road of grace. And we saw that it begins with experience. For every single one of us, it begins with experience. It begins most of the time with secondhand experience, where you're experiencing God through someone else. And so you're watching God heal someone else. You're watching God's grace in someone else's life. You're watching God bring someone else back to life. And in the process, you begin to believe that he can do the same thing for you, that he could do the same thing for your heart. And so you decide to trust him with your healing. You decide to trust him that he can bring you to this point that you're born again. And you move from just being pursued by him to where you're beginning to pursue him as well. And last week we began and we looked at this idea of experience, moving from secondhand to firsthand experience. And then today we're going to continue that path and answer this question of, okay, where do you go from there? So I've trusted him. I've believed what he did. I've experienced his grace in that he has healed me. But then what's next? And for some of you, maybe you're kind of looking at this decision of whether or not you're going to trust him for your own healing, whether or not you're even going to trust him that you need healing, maybe. And you're wrestling through that, but you want to be able to see the path before you take that step. Or maybe others of you last week, even as we were having this question, or even as we were having this conversation, or maybe on Easter as we were having that conversation, you've made this decision that you're going to trust him with your healing. And for the very first time in your life, you've invited him in to come and to forgive you and to bring you back to life, and that's happened, and you're like, okay, now where do I go from here? What's the next step on this path of grace? Or maybe for others of you, you've been on this journey for a while, And you've experienced that grace. You stepped into that grace. You've been healed, but as you've been walking down this path or as you've been on this journey, it seems like nothing's really changing. And you're wondering, well, did I miss something? What's the next step? Because I've been healed for a while, but nothing's really changing. And this conversation is really, really important because on this path, there are all sorts of detours that we can take after we step into this experience of God's grace, after we step into this moment where he heals us and brings us back to life. There are all sorts of detours that we can take, and we don't have time to talk through all of them. I'm actually just going to share with you the three that I see most often show up in our lives and the three that are most frequent inside of the church as a whole. And the first is that as you step into this experience of God's grace and you walk out of it, you can fall into the trap of believing that this path continues and it's entirely academic. As I was working through this with God, it was neat because as we were out at Catalyst this past week, the last speaker or one of the last speakers actually talked about this detour, how it can in our lives become incredibly academic, and we can believe that the path of grace is a path where we experience God and then we continue and we just need to learn more about God. And so you're just learning and learning and learning and learning, and you come here to learn and you go to all these other places to learn and you just go to dinner group to be able to learn, and you just have to learn more and more and more and more and more. Because why? And we believe that the path back to God, the path back to the source of our life and our satisfaction is learning. If I could just have more knowledge. This is actually the detour that maybe some of you are on who look back at this life with God and you're like, man, it's not what I had expected. It seems like nothing's changing since that moment where I experienced him. And the reason is that you've been on a detour. And you've bought into the idea that this is academic, and you just think in your mind, if I could just learn a little bit more, if I had just a little bit more knowledge, if I had just a little bit more information, if I listened to just another podcast, if I read just another book, then I'll finally find it. I'll finally experience that fruit that God said is going to be in my life as I'm finding my way back to him, this love and joy and peace and but you learn more, and it doesn't change. And you're trying to convince yourself that you're happy, that you have joy, that you're full, but you're not. And you've kind of gone off on this detour. That's the first of the detours. The second one that shows up quite frequently is that we just abandon grace altogether. This happens all the time. And so we experience this unbelievable moment where Christ heals us, where he brings us back to life, not because of anything that we did, anything that we deserve, anything about who we are. And then we begin to walk down this path and we think, okay, but the rest of this journey is based upon what I do. And you just kind of abandon grace, and you believe that every step from here on out is based upon whether or not you check off all the boxes on the checklist every morning. And it doesn't help, really, when you talk to the people around you, because the truth is, a lot of us are on this detour. And so you're struggling, You're working through this and you're like, man, God, am I not experiencing you because of what happened last night and what I said to my husband? Am I not experiencing you because of what happened at work last week? Am I not experiencing you, or is this going wrong in my life because of the fact that I'm not doing my quiet time enough? I'm not spending enough time with you. Is this, you've abandoned the path of grace. You've fallen away from grace and you're on a detour. And you're struggling with it. And so you go talk to someone else. You're like, man, I'm really struggling. And they look at you and they're like, well, are you reading your Bible? I'm trying to. Because if you were reading your Bible, you wouldn't be struggling. I'm just saying. I'm really working through this. I'm just worrying about things and all that. Have you memorized the verse? Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I don't think you have. Because if you had, you wouldn't be worried. You're falling away from grace. And it's kind of funny and it kind of isn't, right? Because it's funny in that it's so ridiculous. But it kind of isn't because, man, we've said those things to people. And we get on this detour, and all of a sudden the list of things that we need to do just gets longer and longer and longer. And and for some of you, you're really good at doing the list. And so you do everything on the list, but then you look at your life and you're like, wait a second, I thought that this was supposed to be fulfilling. I thought that this was supposed to bring me back to God, but I don't seem to be any closer to God than what I was before. And so you go talk to your friend and they tell you, well, you're missing two of the things on the list. So you add those to your list and you go back and you do those. And unfortunately, you even come into settings like this and you hear me talk about how God is leading us forward as a loving Heavenly Father. And you walk out and add to your list. And all of a sudden, your list begins to look, if you're honest, kind of like a ShopRite receipt. You ever got a ShopRite receipt? It's about 13 feet long, right? The other day I was at ShopRite. They gave me a receipt. Halfway through it, the paper ran out. I asked her if I could have the cardboard middle piece so I could wrap it back up before I went home. It's just ridiculous. And seriously, just for a second, where are the environmentalists on this? I mean, we're saving paper all over the place. You leave Best Buy, you leave with a book. I just want to rant on that for a second. But for some of you, that's what your list looks like. And it's just getting longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. Some of you, you've been taught that that's what this path looks like. Some of you, that's the reason you walked away from church. You saw people trying to fulfill all these lists, and there was no joy, there was no peace, there was no patience, there was no kindness. A detour. And then there's the third detour, and this one isn't quite as common, but it does show up from time to time, and I want to make sure that you're aware of it because you need to take advantage of it when you see it. I'm telling you, it's not all that common, so you need to make sure that if you see it, that you take advantage of it immediately. All right, and this detour is the detour where we believe that because we're under grace, everything's okay. And so you fall into the trap of believing, yo, because I live under grace, I can just do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. I can hurt the people around me. It doesn't matter. Hey, man, it's cool. I'm under grace. I want to make sure that you pay attention because you don't want to miss this opportunity. So you're having a conversation with someone and you're like, man, I don't think you really need to adjust this. You're really hurting the people around you. Hey, we're under grace. It's all cool. In that moment, right, don't miss it. Punch them in the face. I'm dead serious. It's the only time in your life you're going to be able to punch someone in the face and be like, dude, we're under grace. It's cool. And it's interesting if you view this path kind of like chutes and ladders. I was processing through this and this picture came back to my mind of chutes and ladders. And in chutes and ladders, if you've ever played that, if you don't have kids, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you can remember back to when you were little and you played chutes and ladders, there were these points where you would stop on this, you know, you'd land on this spot and there was a chute and you had to go back to the beginning. And it's interesting as you read through the scriptures, if you find yourself on that detour of believing that, hey, we're under grace, it's all cool. It's kind of like you hit that chute, you need to go back to the beginning because you don't get it. So this isn't just about being freed from the penalty of sin, it's about being freed from sin. This isn't just being freed from the penalty of hurting people, it's about being free from hurting people and hurting our God and our Creator. being freed from sin to love. It's a crucial point on the path because there are all sorts of detours. And you can be on these detours for the rest of your life. And you think you're finding your way back to God, but you're not. And you're trying to convince yourself that you're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, but you're not. It's going to leave you empty. And it's going to leave the lives of the people that you're trying to bring along with you empty. So what does this look like? What's the next step? I'm going to read to you a passage that's found in 2 Peter 3:18. It says, "Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever." Now notice there's two different things there, grow in the grace and the knowledge. Now, most of us have the knowledge down, especially if you're on the academic detour. And so you're growing in knowledge all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. But this path is not just about growing in knowledge, it's about growing in grace. Well, how do you grow in grace? I want to break it down for you today. We're going to dive into two different aspects of it because I think there's two ways that this happens simultaneously, two things that are very, very important. But one of them we talk about a lot and one of them we don't, so I'm going to focus more on the second one. The first one really kind of ties into this idea of growing in knowledge, and that is that you need to grow in your understanding. One of the ways in which you grow in grace is that you grow in your understanding. This isn't just growing in knowledge. This is growing in an understanding of how grace works. You need to grow in your understanding of how grace works. It's not enough to just say, I'm saved by grace. You need to know that Jesus Christ took the entire wrath and anger of God that was meant for sin in your life on him. You need to know that in order to be able to understand certain things about God. You need to consistently be growing in your understanding of how grace works, because if you don't, in your life, you're going to get sidetracked on one of these detours. But it's not just about growing in understanding. If you're just focused on growing in understanding, you're going to end up on that knowledge track, on that academic track. But I don't want to discredit that. I'm not saying that that's not important. Believe me, part of growing in grace is growing in your understanding. As a matter of fact, we have several different things here at Hoboken Grace that are designed to be able to help you grow in your understanding. And so you look at our dinner groups. Our dinner groups are designed to help you grow in your understanding. Why? So that as we're talking through things here on Sunday, you can begin to flush these things out with the people around you. It's one of the reasons why we talk about dinner groups over and over and over and over again. One of the reasons why it's crucial to take that step on this path. Why? So that you can grow in your understanding of grace. It's crucial. When we look at classes, especially our foundations class, is designed to be able to help you begin to walk through God's word in such a way that you begin to understand what he's done for you so that you don't get sidetracked. So that someone doesn't come along and throw you off this path. You look at radical. One of the things you're going to hear more about as this year unfolds, and we've already begun to do it in with our leaders, and it's beginning to filter down through our leaders and to our church. Radical is a, how many weeks? 17-week program, one-on-one with someone else, helping you to be able to understand grace. Because part of growing in grace is this idea of understanding. But we do pretty well with that. We talk about that quite a bit. And so what I want to do is I want to focus on the second part of that, and that is that if you're going to grow in grace, you don't just need to grow in your understanding. You need to grow in your faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. It says, "We live by faith, not by sight." I've been wrestling through this with God for a couple weeks now as we've been preparing to walk into this conversation and specifically this point on this path, because I know that this has happened in my life, but I don't necessarily know how to be able to communicate it to the people around me. And so in my conversation with God for the last couple of weeks, I've been really working through this with him and asking him, okay, God, I know that you've helped me to grow in grace, not just in understanding, but the fact that I believe it, that over and over again in my life, I find myself in situations where I believe that you're for me and not against me. Over and over again in situations, I find myself falling and believing that you're still excited about me. I'm beginning to grow in grace. I've seen that happen in my life, but I don't know how to be able to tell someone else to do it. So I've been wrestling through this with him and saying, God, what does this look like? How does this play out? And last Monday night, I had the opportunity to be able to go hear Matt Chandler speak. If you ever get a chance to be able to listen to his podcast, phenomenal teacher of God's word. I've learned a lot from him, love him. And so I got the opportunity to go hear him speak, and I'm sitting in a crowd of hundreds of people, and I'm expecting to be able to get something incredible out of what he has to say. I didn't learn anything from what he had to say. But before he went up, one of the worship leaders got up there, and he shared this verse that I just read to you. We live by faith and not by sight. And I just lowered my head as he said that, and I said, God, what does that look like? What does that look like? And he began in my heart to walk me back to this conversation that we'd been having about growing in grace. He began to talk to me about this idea of walking by faith and not by sight. You see, our entire lives are lived by sight. And from the time we were born, we're taught to be able to take in information, to be able to look at what's around us, to make observation, to be able to process that observation, to make decisions about what our next step will be. Right? You do that every day, all day long. And almost every decision that you make is made based upon your observations of the world around you, and then you processing that, and then laying out a path in front of you. And I'm sitting there, and I ask God, what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? And he said to me, I doubt I'll ever forget it. He said, Chris, you have to close your eyes. He said, that's weird. Yeah, it was weird for me too. You have to close your eyes. And you have to hit your knees. And you have to begin to make decisions about the next step in your life, not based upon your observations that you've run through your grid, but based upon what I'm saying to your soul. You have to close your eyes. And you have to hear me speak into your life what the next step is. And you follow me. And as we continue to walk through this, and this idea of grace, growing in grace is not just growing in your understanding of grace. Growing in grace is when you stop living by sight. Because if you're going to live by sight, you're not going to believe in grace. Because you're going to look at the world around you, and you're going to look at how the world interacts and the way that the world works, and grace does not fit into that system. Let me tell you something. It does not fit into that system. And you're going to continue to believe that God's expectations of you are more than what you can handle. You're going to continue to believe that you have to somehow to perform for him in order for him to be excited about you, until you make the decision to close your eyes. And to allow him to be able to speak into your soul and say to you over and over and over again, you're forgiven. You're holy. You're healed. And you're free. And when you begin to live your life with your eyes closed, and you begin to make space for him over and over and over again to speak into your heart, to say that to you day after day after day after day, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter where you are in this journey, for you to hear him say it over and over and over again, all of a sudden you're going to open your eyes and the world is going to look different. Romans chapter 12 says that in our lives, God is constantly working to transform our minds. That doesn't happen simply by gaining more knowledge. That happens by hearing him talk to you. By you accessing the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And over and over and over again, you hear him cry out, explain, and emphasize in your life grace. I continue to process this with him, and a story came to mind that I wanted to be able to walk you through because I think it's just kind of an illustration of where we are and how this looks in our lives as we walk down this path of grace. It's found in Matthew chapter 9. Verse 1 through 8, it says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic. For those of you who don't know, that means he couldn't walk. Lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, this is kind of an interesting situation. So their friends bring him to him, which is kind of cool because it illustrates a little bit of what we talked about before, that this journey begins with secondhand, and so they believe that Christ can heal him, so they bring him to Christ. And they bring him up, and he looks at this guy, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Now, can you imagine being his friends? Because this is Jesus, so you want to be careful, right? You don't want to be like Peter. You want to be careful, but he says, your sins are forgiven. And I'm sure his friends were like, there's one other thing. I don't know if you noticed this. There was one other thing we wanted to talk to you about. It's actually a beautiful illustration of what we talked about on Palm Sunday about internal and external. But they're like, wait. And so the story continues. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God. And the truth is, Jesus does this several times throughout his life. The thing I love about this is that you see him both speak grace and healing at the same time. And I think there's this picture, as I read through this story, that kind of illustrates how we experience grace. And for some of us, we step into this experience of grace, and we feel God heal us, and we hear him in that moment say, listen, you're healed, get up and walk. But the problem is, we don't. And so for some of us, this path so far, it looks something like this. If you imagine you're this man, you're sitting on the ground, and Jesus comes up to you, and you finally trust him. You're going to trust him with your heart. You're going to trust him that he can heal you. And he walks up to you, and finally the moment is there, and you experience him, and he steps into your life and says, listen, you're healed, get up and walk. And for some of you, your life looks like this. You hear that, you experience it, and you're like, yes! It's so exciting. I can't believe it. I can't believe he healed me. Guys, you walk into dinner, guys, it's incredible. He's healed me. Life's so much better. But you just stay there. And you go a few weeks and a few months and nothing's changing. You're like, man, maybe I need to learn. Maybe I need to go get a book about walking. I'll read a couple books on walking. man, that's not working. Your friends are telling you how to walk. You just got to lift your leg, and that's not really working. And eventually you begin to look at your life, and you're like, wait a second. It seemed like it was better when I was getting drunk every night and sitting here. When I was sleeping around and sitting here. Seemed like maybe it was even better before. You're just there. You're on one of these detours. You get on one of these detours, this is where you end up. And for others of you, maybe Jesus comes by, you experience it, and you stood up, and you started walking, and you're like, man, this is incredible, and you're experiencing God, but all of a sudden, something happens in your life, and you're struggling with something that you can't get rid of, or you fail in a way that you didn't expect. You step out, and you become a dinner group leader, but it's not working out the way that you thought it was going to work out, and all of a sudden, you start to limp a little bit. And Satan comes into your life and he steps into your experience. He says, what are you doing? You can't walk. Who are you kidding? God's not excited about you. Have you lost it? God's not going to use you. Look at your life. Look at who you are. And you're trying to learn more about grace, and you're trying to learn, and you're doing all these things, and he just keeps hitting you, 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 and you just end up finding yourself right back on the side of the road. Like, I can't walk. It takes you out. You say, man, I need to learn more. But you don't. Because you see, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that moves you from being on the side of the road to walking. And it's informed by your understanding. But the only thing that moves you from being here to where you're experiencing Him and walking with Him is when you close your eyes and over and over and over again, He says to you, get up, you're healed. And walk. Get up. You're healed. And walk. You're forgiven. You're holy. I'm excited about you. You're beautiful. Those sins in your life that you're struggling with, they don't define you. They're not who you are. They never will be again. Get up and walk. You are healed. And you can be here and you can hear me say it over and over and over again. You can read this book and you can learn about it time and time, time again. You can explain it to everyone in the world around you. I lived a huge portion of my life being able to explain to people inside and out what grace meant. But it wasn't until I closed my eyes, it wasn't until God stepped into my heart and said, and I heard His voice to me, you are healed, that I got up and walked. And in my life, there are times when I step away from that voice and I get wrapped up in all these other things. And the moment I do, I find myself back on the side of that road, off the path of grace. Because more than anything else in your entire life, what you need is to be able to hear the Spirit inside of you, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead for you, to say to your soul, you're healed. You're healed. Get up and walk. And if you're going to walk this path, you say, where do I go from here? It's important that you increase in your understanding. That's important, believe me. But alongside of that, and more important, is that you begin to create space and time for you to be able to pick up this book, not so that you can get more information, not so that you can learn more knowledge, but to listen to his voice. God, listen, I just want to listen to you, what you have to say to me, whatever you want to say to me, wherever you want to take me, whatever you want to say to my heart. I just want to hear you say to me over and over and over and over and over again, you're healed. It's over. You're healed. Get up. Walk. Create that space and that time. And as he begins to, with your eyes closed, speak that into your life over and over again, you begin to open your eyes and see a world that's swimming in grace. Your life drowning in grace. And all of a sudden, the fruit of God's Spirit begins to explode in you. That's what it means to grow in grace. Will you pray with me? Father, you know it doesn't matter what I say to them. It doesn't matter how many times we talk about it. It doesn't matter how clearly we walk through it. It doesn't matter. What matters, God, is that you speak to their hearts, and so you know all morning I've been praying. God, I pray that you would break through whatever's there. I don't care what it is. I don't care how hard their heart is. I don't care how far they've walked from you. I don't care where they are, that you would break through it. You can do it. You can do it right now. That you would break through it. All the skepticism, everything that surrounds it, you'd break through it and you'd speak into their heart and their soul so loud they couldn't possibly deny. You're healed. You're forgiven. You're holy. You're free. You're mine. And you can't change that. As we go through the next two songs, I want to encourage you to listen. Just listen. You don't need to sing another song. Ryan's going to sing a song. He'll want you to sing. Don't worry, he'll be fine. You don't need to sing another song. You don't need to learn anything new. You need to hear the voice of your Father. You need to hear grace from his lips. Listen. Just listen. Maybe you listen best through singing. Maybe you listen best through sitting with your head bowed before him. That's how I listen best. Maybe you listen best as you go to each side of the table, each side of the room where the tables are, and you remember how he gave his life for you. I don't know what listening looks like to you, but I know what busyness looks like. Don't get busy with singing a song or going to the sides or all these other things and miss out on what you need the most. Hear it. Wait for it. Speak into your soul. You're free.